What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Between Two Tackles. I'm your host, Alex Pinelli, and alongside me, as always, is Ray Volo. Ray, my man, how are we feeling? Free agency flew by. The Jets, tough day one, a little tough day two, but man, made a nice little splash with Tyron Smith. And now we got Mike Will in the building today, tomorrow. So all things are looking up.
Patience is a virtue, my friends. You know, people complaining they're not the first one on the board because we got some people whose jobs are on the line, which I thought was ridiculous. The best player for us was always still on the board, and we ended up getting them, so that's big news. But today is the defensive tackle episode, so we'll limit our Jets talk for now, especially considering we signed three defensive tackles too. So may not be in the draft market for them, but still a deep class and should be fun to talk about.
Yeah, before free agency, I was really going into this kind of excited to look at, especially these mid-round interior players. I was like, oh, like who am I looking out for the Jets? And obviously, like you said, with Kinlaw and the guy they signed from Arizona too.
And Solomon.
And they brought back Solomon Thomas, right? Yeah, that's a hold the pod worthy news. Shout out to Stock Exchange boys. That was good stuff. Like you said, interior defensive linemen today. We're doing our top fives, and then we'll get some guys just outside. But let's get right to it. Ray, who you got at number five?
At five, I got a your guy, I guess, Dwayne Carter from Duke.
Ooh.
Yeah, big fan of this player, watching him. I got familiar with him in the Senior Bowl a little bit, but diving into the tape, really like him. So he's 6'2", 302, got 10 and a quarter hands, 33-inch arms, so plenty of length, plenty of size to him. Fifth-year senior from Ohio, and this is a guy who just comes from a football family, too. His dad's a Buckeye, OH. Okay, next time.
No, never.
And then his grandpa, I think, went to Youngstown State, too. So just a couple Ohio boys, and he ends up at Duke. I hear he's, like, a real good guy, too, a real smart guy. I think I heard he wants
three-year
to go to politics.
Captain.
Yeah, three-year captain, fifth-year senior.
Crazy.
Love that. I think teams are going to love that, too. So in 2022, he had a much better year than he did in 2023. So 2022, he had 5.5 sacks, 11 tackles for a loss, and like about 12.5% pass rush win rate. And then this past year, a little bit down stats wise, he had 1 sack, 3.5 tackles for a loss, 18 hurries, 25 total pressures on 321 pass rush snaps. So he played a little less. It's only a 7.78 pass rush win rate, but he had 19 stops as well. So this is a complete player too. So this isn't someone who I don't think he's gonna have a limited role when he gets in the league. He'll be able to play all three downs. Sure, he'll be in a rotation. Obviously, he's not gonna be an every down starter off the bat, but he can play a run downs. He can play in pass rush situations too, which I really do like. But power is the name of this guy's game. His bull rush is pretty electric. I think it was what's his name from Wisconsin, the center?
Bortolini.
Yeah, he put him on his ass in the Senior Bowl, dude.
Fucked him up.
It was actually, I felt bad for the poor guy, but he has a really nice forklift where he can just like control people and just literally just move them at will, which I really love to see. I think his length helps with that as well, too, because he's not someone who can only be a penetrator. He doesn't have to just win with athleticism. He can two gap as well, which I really like. Uses that length with, gets his hands in the chest and can really control blockers. I think besides like the scheme versatility, I think he's got a versatile in the role he can play as well. He can play 0-5 tech. And he was even kicked out on the edge a couple times in college too, which I was really surprised to see because he is a little bit of a stiffer athlete. You know, he's more of like a power player. Like I said, he wants to play through your chest as opposed to bend around you, but they used him all over the place. And like you said, mentioned earlier, he doesn't come off the field at all and he's a three-time captain. So love to see that out of a defensive tackle. I think some of his hand activity and placement need to be improved a little bit. I mean, he doesn't really have many moves. He, like I said, he just likes to play through guys' chests right now. So I think if he can diversify that up a little bit, it'll really help open up his pass rush arsenal as a whole. And he can, he's not the most nimble athlete. Like, there are some guys that we're going to talk about on this list, or I guess probably all the guys I'm going to talk about today, a little bit more better athletes than him. He's not bad per se. Like, he can win with some quickness deceptively, but he's not going to be someone who's going to be getting off the line of scrimmage, just making offensive linemen just have to like backtrack from this, like from the jump. So he's more of a power player, like I mentioned. And he can also, sometimes he struggles to get off blocks. I think I mentioned it with his hands. He's got to get more active hands and kind of remove the grips, but overall, this is someone who's going to be he'll play a big role in a rotation from day one. and there's not many holes in his game. I think he's going to be a long-time pro. Ceiling is probably around that like 5.5-7 sack mark, I would assume. But still, he'll be a good defensive tackle in the NFL.
Yeah, this guy is just screams like 8-year pro to me in a rotation on good football teams. Like you said, high character football player, 3-year captain at Duke, the only player ever to accomplish that at Duke. High IQ football player, too. He's been there for a long time. He makes some excellent plays on screens. He sniffs stuff out really well. So I really enjoyed watching him. I know you said this was a my guy. You actually have him ranked a little bit higher than I do. I have him at 8, but I do have a mid-round 3 grade on him right now. So I do think he goes in the first 2 days of the draft. I really like what you said about his power. Like you mentioned, power is the name of his game. His hands at the point of attack are extremely strong. He likes to bring the fight to you. He doesn't wait for contact, which I really love. I know you said you didn't love his pass rush moves. I actually think he's got some of the better pass rush moves among the guys that I watched. His club move, his rip move, and I think he's got a pretty good counter spin too. So I do think he comes into the NFL with a little bit of a pass rush plan. I think that can develop over time. The reason I have him a little bit lower is, like you said, just kind of a limited athlete compared to some of the other guys that we're going to talk about today. The average get off at the snap, and really just not a dominant twitchy type of player on the interior, but just a model of consistency almost more than anybody that I watch. But I got him at 8, but I do think this is a very, very high floor type of player that you can draft in round 3 and get good production out of in his first few years. All right, for me at 5, I got the big boy. I got T'Vondre Sweat. I really wrestled with him. He was a very tough evaluation because he's so damn big and he was so dominant all year. But how it translates to the NFL, I think, is the tough part. And I think teams are struggling with that too. But I'll go through some of the positives right now. 6'5", 366, just a massive human being. 33 1.25 inch arms. This season, he had 31 pressures, 2 sacks on a 15.4 pass rush win rate, which I thought was higher than when I was just watching him. He had 24 stops against the run. This season, he was top 11 in run stops, stop percentage, average depth of tackle, which was 0.4 on run plays. So he's just an extremely dominant player on rundowns. He really doesn't let anybody get by him. He holds up against double teams. I mean, he's 366. Pretty hard to not hold up against double teams at that size. He was also second among defensive linemen in passes batted down with 6 this season. I think he does a great job of getting his body in front when he can't get home. I think this year he showed a ton of improvement in his pass rush sets. His win rate doubled from 7.5 to 15.4. I think he showed a little bit more nuance in his pass rush with his club moves and his arm overs. His bull rush is obviously his go-to for a big guy that he is, but I do think he showed a little bit more with his hands this year. And like you mentioned for Dwayne Carter, forklifting guys, this guy forklifts people like no other. I mean, he could just move anybody at his size. So I think for NFL teams, the big concern for them is how many snaps can you actually get out of this guy and where you play him. So for the weaknesses, why I have him at 5 right now. The overall conditioning, I think, for teams is going to be a question. Like I said, how many snaps can you actually get out of him, especially if you draft him, let's say, in round 2. You want this guy to be on the field for 60 to 65% of snaps if you're drafting him in the second round. But how many snaps can you actually get out of him? He's got average quickness off the ball. I mean, for a big guy, he does actually move pretty well, but he's likely an early down player to start his career unless that first step gets a little bit quicker. And then leverage and pad level is an issue. He's massive, but it can force him to play a little bit high. But I do think this guy is just so dominant in the run game that a team is going to take a chance on him, especially if you have some smaller, lighter interior defenders that he can protect on the inside where you can have those guys really get after the quarterback. So he's going to be an interesting one come draft time.
Yeah, he was my DT7. I feel like I agree with a lot of what you said. He's just a true gap filler right now. That, I mean, yeah. At that size, almost 6'5", 366 pounds, he's just a load to handle. I actually thought he got off the ball when asked to a lot quicker than I was expecting. And I feel like when he shoots gaps and tries to like attack half the man, like it's just like they can't, college offensive linemen just couldn't keep him from the backfield. Like he was just moving people when he attacks at half. He was surprisingly, I didn't think he was as good at taking on double teams as I was expecting for someone that size, especially when I watched Byron Murphy. I feel like the technique that Byron Murphy took on double teams was a lot cleaner, a lot better than it was for Devondre Sweat, which is something I was a little curious about. But he does show his active hands in pass rushing, which I love to see. He's got deceptive little arm over that he does and a nice push-pull, which I thought really worked out for him. But he's just, his athleticism is just so limited. He's not a good mover, man. Like he won't be able to chase quarterbacks down and like actually get sacks. He's someone who's be a pocket collapser and really help his teammates feast. So I think the pass rush upside is a lot limited. And like you mentioned, dude, he's not gonna be able to play that many snaps, especially at that weight. I know they were saying that they thought he played a little heavier than 366 too. So he's not the best mover, and I feel like that's gonna really limit him. Where you won't want him on the field for like 20 snaps at this point. Like you don't want him too much. It's gonna be mainly early down work. So that's why I had him outside my top five.
Yeah, I think a lot of the same concerns that people had about Vita Vea coming out are the same with him. And I think what Vita Vea has turned into is what you hope he turns into.
I just think Vita Vea was a better athlete. Like Vita Vea was massive, but I feel like he moves better on the football field personally.
That's fair. All right, let's keep it rolling. Who you got at number four?
I'm going with the Buckeye, Michael Hall Jr. So this is someone I think I had out of my top five in summer scouting. I was a little disappointed with his tape, but after looking, and it's funny because the season he had this year was pretty disappointing. So let's just say 6'3", 290. He's got 10-inch hands and 33.5-inch arms, which I love. His length is really good. It's going to help him out as a pass rusher a lot in the NFL. But so as a junior, he had 7.5 tackles for a loss, 4.5 sacks. And I guess I'm trying to think where on like maybe 18 pressures total on 266 snaps. So he didn't play that much. And then this past year, he only had 1.5 sacks, 2 tackles for a loss, 5 hits, and 29 total pressures. So, but his pass rush win rate this year is just under 13%. So it was actually pretty impressive. But the name of this guy's game is quickness. His lateral quickness from that 3 tech is deadly. He can get off the ball so fast, and his arm over, he won like 3 consecutive reps in the Senior Bowl in particular with that too. So that arm over, that's his bread and butter right now. Really fast hands and just really agile player on the interior. I think he played a little too much over the nose in college. I think I'm just thinking in a jet scheme, like, I feel like Quinnen lines up over the nose. You want him in that B gap all day long and just let him shoot and just use his athleticism. That's where he's going to make his money. So I think he's kind of played a little bit out of position at Ohio State. I think if he can settle more in there, he'll really be much, much more effective. I love his toughness too. He's got a little grit to him. He lets you know it too. When he wins, he lets the offensive lineman and the quarterback know it, which I love. I think you got to have a little edge on you if you're playing in the trenches, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And he's a high effort rusher. He never quits, and he plays a ton of snaps considering his size too. He's a little undersized, and I think that's really where the negatives come in. He gets washed out in the run game a little too much. Especially on double teams, he can just get completely moved out of the way and just become irrelevant. And he's also a head dropper, so his take on skills aren't that of Dwayne Carter or Devondre Sweat or some of the other guys we'll talk about on this episode. So that really helps. That really limits him in his role, I think, from day one. I think from day one, as opposed to Dwayne Carter, who I think can play all 3 downs in a rotation, he's someone that you only want on clear passing downs. I think that's really going to be his role as a rookie until he can gain some strength. And maybe just overall awareness as well. I think with the strength, like his bull rush does not have as much power as some of these other guys do either. So not even just the take on skills, just his overall pass rush bull rush. It's a little limited just because of the lack of strength. I think if he can add strength and really make that a average weapon, it's going to open up the rest of his game entirely. So I think as the strength and overall size comes on, he'll just maximize his play. So I view him as a second round player. Probably towards the back half of the second round, if I had to guess, but I think someone's going to be too intrigued by the upside as a pass rusher, where he'll go early on day two.
Nice. I have Michael Hall at 6, so just outside my top 5. Agree with a lot of what you said. Love his active hands, like you mentioned. He's always working towards the quarterback. And he's another one. He brings the fight to offensive linemen. He really does not like them to get into his chest. He likes to get into their chest first. Quick off the snap. He really wins a lot with his first step quickness, which in the NFL, I also think he'll be able to win with. But like you said, that power profile needs to improve. And then the last thing I wrote for strengths, really effective on twists and stunts. When he gets movement, when he gets a full head of steam, he can build up that power. So I like to see him working in those type of schemes. The power is why I have him outside. I mean, he just gets bullied in the run game. I think he tries to anchor down a little bit. You can see him trying, but he just really can't hold up. I mean, even against single blocks, sometimes he gets washed out in the run game. So that's tough. Like you said, he's going to be a third down type of player, a pass rusher only when he starts. And then I also wrote, he gets knocked back a lot on first contact. There are a lot of times where he gets knocked back like 2 or 3 yards and he just can't make a play. And even when he does make a run stop, it's 3 or 4 yards down the field rather than being 1 yard. So for me, I got him a little outside. I have him as a mid-round three type of player right now. I have a big group of guys in that kind of range, but I do have him leading that pack. So be curious to see where he ends up and where teams kind of evaluate that pass rush upside. Because like you said, a lot of those guys that maybe we have in that same range have a little bit less upside when it comes to pass rush.
Yeah, I think his pass rush upside is what's going to push him up people's boards. I feel like that quick, everyone's looking for that interior pass rush who wins with quickness. So it'll be curious to see, because, I mean, I'm assuming the next guy you talk about, or at least one of the next few guys you talk about, because I know he's a year guy, has this quickness too. So I'm curious to see how they end up going 1-2 off the board.
Yeah, and let's talk about him right now, because I got him at number 4. It's Braden Fisk from Florida State. 6'4", 292. He's got dino arms, though, which is rough, but 31-inch arms. But man, like you said, speed and quickness off the ball is the name of this guy's game. This year, he had 28 pressures, 6 sacks on an 8.9 pass rush win rate, had 16 stops, and run defense was excellent. When he was at Western Michigan prior to transferring over to Florida State, he's just a freaky athlete, man. I mean, he absolutely destroyed the combine. Number one in the 40, in the vertical, in the broad, and in the 20-yard shuttle for interior defensive linemen. It shows on tape, too, the way he plays and the way he fires out of his stance and his short area twitch and quickness. Speed to power is the name of his game, too. He can jolt offensive linemen back with his first-step acceleration and power, which is really nice. He's got a good arm over to slip inside. I really like those moves. And then he's always working towards the quarterback. This is a guy that plays his ass off every single play. He is around a lot of good players on that defensive line with Verse and Fabian Levette. But when he does have one-on-ones, he wins. So I really like to see that. For me right now, some of the weaknesses, he plays too upright. He needs to play with better pad level. He will get so much more pressure because he already has that good first step quickness, but he loses ground once he stands up. So want to see him play with a little bit of better leverage. And then getting off blocks after the initial engagement for him is tough. He doesn't have a ton of counters, and with the lack of length, he can struggle to win if it's not off that first step. And then in the run game, he can lose sight of the ball. He's always trying to work upfield, making plays where he's got to have his head up. And he might just miss a gap assignment because his head's down. So I think working on some of that stuff, especially in the run game, is really going to help him. But he's another guy, kind of like Michael Hall, will be a pass rusher only, I think, once he comes into the NFL. And then once he works on that, maybe he can be on the field a little bit more. But it is hard to deny his athletic upside. I mean, at 292, running 4.78, is what he ran.
Yeah, I mean, he's a freak. I'll piggyback just because I have the numbers right in front of me. So he was my number 6 DT, and the athletic testing was just absurd. I think he was top 5 in all these categories, except for maybe bench, but a 4.78 40 with a 1.68 10-yard split. He had a 33.5 vertical, 9.9 broad, a 4.37 short shuttle, and then 26 reps on the bench press. So his combine was one of, if not the best, out of any position group, I think, this year. I don't think that's overstating it in the least. I think, like you mentioned, his explosive athleticism is really evident on tape too. He gets off the ball really fast, and he's another one who I think, like you said about Michael Hall, I love the potential of using him on stunts and twists, just because when he comes around, like when he can come around a corner, he comes around violent, and it's pretty terrifying.
Yeah,
I think
he can turn corners, like he's flexible like that too.
He's got good bend for sure. Yeah, I think that's really going to help him on stunts. His play strength, you mentioned, it's really good. I think his ability to take on double teams, he splits double teams a lot too, mm-hmm. with his strength. It's impressive. I think he's a better run defender than I was anticipating, and he's another one. I think he could play various roles. I don't think he's limited to just a three tech like a Michael Hall. I think he on tape, he played over the nose. He can play in a five tech. I think he can play in a two gap or a one gap kind of scheme. He's pretty versatile in that sense. And he's got a good anchor to him, too, so to take on those double teams, like I mentioned. I think the one thing that really made it so he wasn't in my top five, he plays out of control. I don't know like if it's just – I don't know what it – he just looks like he's just kind of like a bull in a china shop. His hands are all over the place. He's kind of like frantically running around. It's a little suspect. I think once he improves his hand placement, he'll become an even better pass rusher because his hands really are just a kind of a mess. Like, they're not accurate. I don't really know what he's trying to do a lot of the time. I think he just relies too much on that motor that we were talking about and the pure athleticism. That's where he gets most of his wins. I think once he gets NFL coaching and refines that approach, he'll be better. But right now, it's just not up to par. And I think playing high and without the best leverage, like you mentioned, it really shows in his bull rushing ability because I don't think he gets as much push as I was anticipating.
His pop.
You think? I don't know. Yeah. I think maybe he gets high a little bit. I think he kind of just – I don't think it's as much as – I don't know. Maybe I have to go back and watch, but I wasn't too impressed with it, especially for what I was expecting. I thought he'd be someone who'd be driving, collapsing pockets left and right, and I just didn't really see that. So I view him as like a third-round draft pick, maybe middle of the third round, but the upside's there, but I also think there's some bust potential too.
Yeah, he's going to be fascinating because after the combine, I mean, I think everybody had him pretty much penciled in as a round two guy. I mean, I think there were some mocks that are putting him in the late round one. I don't think he's got round one written on him, but I definitely think mid round two, I think that's probably where he ends up with his athletic upside. Let's keep it rolling. Who you got at number three?
I got Chris Jenkins. Is it junior or the second? I'm not entirely sure.
Junior. And I also have him at three. So
yeah, I love this. That. I love this player, dude.
You love Michigan.
Fuck off. But 6'3", 299. He's got just under 9.5-inch hands and 34-inch arms, which is another one. Really impressive length from the interior, which you don't always see. At the combine, he ran a 4.9 140 with a 1.7 split. He had a 30-inch vert and a 9.7 broad and 29 reps on the bench press. So really good testing numbers, too. Surprisingly, to be honest with you, I wasn't expecting an athlete of this level. But he's a true senior from Maryland. I think he's a 2-year starter for Michigan as a junior, rather. 2 sacks, 3.5 tackles for a loss, 16 hurries and 36 stops on 536 snaps total. And this past year, not much increase in the pass rushing ability, which you don't really like to see, but 2.5 sacks, 4.5 tackles for a loss, 20 total pressures, but only 228 pass rush snaps. So I think it was just under like a 9% win rate. But this, what everything I said about Fisk, I think is the opposite of Chris Jenkins. Chris Jenkins is so refined in his approach, dude. You can tell he's a son of a pro.
Yeah.
His leverage, his hand placement, just his technique in run defense is just so crisp, man. This is a guy who's gonna come in immediately and be a starter just because of how refined he is on early downs. He takes on double teams so well. I think he gets so low. And that's how I feel. Like that's how he wins. He takes low man wins to the next level. Yes. I fucking love that about him. I think his athleticism, though it hasn't translated to pass rushing winning right now, I think it's more of a scheme thing. I think he was asked to two gap a lot, and he's really disciplined in his approach. And I think he's someone who can play in a three tech and just shooting gaps. I think he'll grow into that. I think the ability for him to be a pass rusher is there. He's just got to be in the right scheme for it. I mentioned the leverage, the strength too. The strength along with that leverage, it just makes him such a dominant run stopper. He is just, his ability to stop the run is so impressive, where in a game where it's kind of getting phased out a little bit, it doesn't matter with him. He's so good at it that teams are going to value him. I think he's got to develop more of a pass rush plan, obviously, just because the numbers aren't there, and I feel like he doesn't have that much spin, that much moves. He does flash a little spin move when he sets it up, which I really do like, but he's got to use it more often and obviously become a little bit more refined. And then his hands need to be a little bit more active as well. He doesn't really have much counters, like you mentioned with Fisk, which you got to see. And another thing, the athleticism there, but he's not the quickest off the snap. So I do wonder if that is because of what he's asked to do in that defense, or if it's maybe just a timing thing. I'm not entirely sure. But overall, I think he's someone who's going to be a day one starter, and that pass rush ability will come. I think in 3 to 4 years, he'll be a 5 to 7 sack guy, but an elite run stopper, which will make him valuable.
Yeah, he is just outstanding against a run. And I wrote best leverage of any guy that I watched. I mean, you said it, low man wins. I mean, even in his setup, like, he is always underneath the offensive lineman. It's great to watch. He can really forklift people just the way he sets up his body. He's got an athletic build with the athletic scores to match. He shoots gaps and he wins with his hand technique. So I didn't struggle with him, but I agree with you that I think his pass rush upside is higher than some of these other guys because I see the way he works with his hands in the run. Like, he knows how to use his hands and he knows how to be active and he knows where to place his hands. But I think once that pass rush upside, once he gets with coaching, I think he will take off, like you said. Stack and shed ability is outstanding. I mean, he can long arm offensive linemen and hold them off to make a tackle and two gap. Really high IQ player. He plays gaps really well. He sets a hard edge and he funnels running backs to the middle of the field. He's always working towards the quarterback, and he's got pretty quick closing speed too when he does try to get home to quarterbacks or make them throw early or off rhythm. So I really like that. The weaknesses I have basically exactly the same. The pass rush moves I think are there, but he's kind of one trick pony. That counter spin I also noted. The double hand swipe is kind of his go-to right now. I think that stuff will come along. He doesn't have a ton of power in his punches right now. He's kind of finessey in the way he plays at the point of attack, which I do think he does have good power, but I think just in his technique, I feel like it's a little finessey, and I feel like he can hit strike zones a little bit tougher than he does right now. But again, I think that comes. And then the last thing I wrote, I feel like his lower half needs to get a little bit stronger right now. I feel like his upper body is pretty juiced up, and I feel like the lower body's kind of got to go with it. I feel like double teams were a little bit of an issue for him, and he wasn't always in the best anchor position. But when he's one-on-one single box, I mean, he's pretty unblockable on the run. So I think this is another guy, really high floor type of player who does have high upside in that pass rush. So he's going to be a really good player. I have him as a early mid round two type of player right now.
Yeah, that's where I think he's going to go to. I do think the Chargers at the top of the second round makes all the sense in the world.
All right, so I'm assuming that we have the same two players at 1 and 2. Who you got at 1? Who you got at 2? And then we'll go from there.
So at 1, at 2, I have Byron Murphy the second. At 1, I have Johnny Jerzon Newton.
Okay, so I had the exact same grade on them, but I did put one guy higher just because of upside. I have Byron Murphy at 1. So if you want to talk about Newton, I'll talk about Murphy.
Okay, yeah. So Jerzon Newton, he is so impressive, man. It's funny.
Yeah, he's awesome.
I loved him over summer scouting, and I kind of waited to watch this year's tape on him, and I watched everyone else. I'm like, okay, let's see. Especially Byron Murphy, I thought it was going to be the number one competitor. I feel like it's kind of common to have him at 1, but dude, Jerzon Newton is just so fucking good, man. So he 6'2", 304. He's got just under 32.5-inch arms. So he's a little, I mean, but that's obviously fine from the interior. I'm very upset that he didn't test at the combine, because I do think if he did, having him at number one would be a lot less rare than it is right now, because I feel like Byron Murphy was another one who had a really great combine showing, but I think Jerzon Newton would have equaled him, because I think he is a great athlete on tape. But this is a redshirt junior who's a 3-star recruit from Florida. Also played high school basketball, so that shows the athleticism that he did have. He's a second team All-American redshirt sophomore, rather. I think he was an All-American again this past year. I'm not entirely positive. But as a redshirt sophomore, rather, he had 5.5 sacks, 14 tackles for loss, 36 hurries, 36 stops on 723 snaps. And then this past year, 7.5 sacks, 8.5 tackles for loss, 43 total pressures on 402 pass rush snaps. So this is a guy, he just doesn't come off the field. He's like consistently playing, I think the last 2 years, like 800 snaps a piece.
749 snaps this season.
Insane for an interior lineman. It's crazy. They put so much on his plate. And this is a guy, he is so balanced too. I think some of the other guys we've talked about, like, they have glaring holes. This guy does not have a glaring weakness, in my opinion. I think he's elite against the run. He has accurate hands. He's able to stack and shed really nice and plays with great leverage. And then as a pass rusher, he's got that athleticism where he likes winning on the outside shoulder too. He has a good bend to his game. So there's finesse there, but he's also can play through your chest, which I love. His hands are the best hands in the class, and it's not even close.
Yep.
Active as hell. Always swiping, always swatting. He has a nice arm over, two hand swipe. He shows as well. Good, great push pull. I love. He can play a three or four down front. I think there's no scheme he can't play in. There's no role that you can't ask him to do. I wouldn't want him playing over the nose just because he's a little bit of a leaner prospect, but he could do it if you asked him to. Again, I think some of the one weakness I do have, I think his build is rare to see. He's not a typical build of an interior defensive lineman. I feel like he is a little lean. I don't know if you thought the same thing.
I thought he's got like a thick upper body and the lower body's a little tiny.
Yeah. I want to see him add a little bit more size and strength, especially like you mentioned in that lower half. I think that would really help improve the overall bull rush and just really round out the pass rush profile. And I mentioned he likes attacking that outside shoulder. I do want to see him throw it in a couple of those inside counters too, to really keep interior blockers like on their heels a little bit, but because he can get a little bit predictable. But as a whole, I think this guy is a day one starter who's going to be playing all three downs and just won't come off the field like he played in college. And he's someone who he can be a seven to 10 sack guy as a pro. I really do think he's that good. I don't think he's going to be as a rookie, but I think by year two or three, we're going to be talking about him as one of the more premier defensive tackles in the league.
Yeah, this is a guy, if he goes, let's say, in like the 20s, like, we're going to be looking back at this draft saying, how the fuck did he go so low?
Dude, his floor is, if he goes to Detroit, it's going to be an issue. I love the
floor. Well, they did sign DJ Reader, so.
Yeah, I know.
Honestly, that's just a heavy front, though. I wouldn't hate it. I love Johnny Newton. We loved him over summer. And the only reason I have him at number two is because I think Byron Murphy just has more upside with his overall athletic traits. But man, it is such a pleasure to watch Johnny Newton play football. There was nobody else that I saw in this class who faced more double teams and triple teams on the defensive line. Like, teams were literally triple teaming him, and he sometimes would make plays out of it. He's just so impressive. I love what you said about his hands. By far the best hands. His swipes are quick. They're technically sound. He takes distance away so fast. The bend, I love. He's got like reach around bend too. Like, even when he looks out of the play, like, he'll make a play and run defense. Even when he's kind of held up by an offensive lineman, his bend and his reach around is outstanding. Extremely high IQ football player. He'll sniff out a play pre-snap, and he'll slide into the gap as the ball's getting snapped, and he'll just explode. I love those plays. Sniffs out screens. He's got pretty good closing speed. For me, the reason I have Byron Murphy a little bit higher than him, he's not elite off the snap. I mean, as sometimes I think he's trying to see where a play is developing rather than just getting upfield. And then I think the lack of elite power can cause him to get stuck against double teams. But just consistent from this player. And like I said, this is a guy that's going to play over his draft position no matter where he goes. Because realistically, I think in 5 years, he's probably a top seven player coming out of this draft.
Yeah, high praise.
Yeah. And I'll talk about Byron Murphy here. I've kind of had them traveling together in like my big boards and in these rankings, but just an outstanding season for Byron Murphy the second. 6'1", 297, had 32 3/8-inch arms at the combine, ran 4.87 with a 1.69 10-yard split, vertical jump 33 inches, broad 9'3" and did 28 reps on the bench press. He's just an athletic freak. He's got a good blend of size. Oh, let me go through the stats, actually, because stats were crazy this year. 45 pressures this year, 5 sacks, a 19.6 pass rush win rate. Number one in the country for interior defensive linemen. 19.6 for an interior player is outstanding. He also had 15 stops against the run this year. Like I said, really good blend of speed, twitch, and power. He was ranked top 5 at the combine in the 40, the vertical, the bench for interior players. He plays with excellent leverage. Not as good as Chris Jenkins, but excellent leverage to get underneath guards and centers. You especially see this in the run game where he can really sink his hips and anchor down. He almost goes to a knee sometimes when he anchors down, which I love.
Teams.
I love getting low. But I also have that as a slight weakness, and we'll get to it, because he can get taken out of plays like that.
Apparently, he claims that that's what he was taught that by one of his defensive line coaches, that it's like, I guess it's a technique that when he drops to his knees to take on those double teams to kind of like shed them off. And I noticed it on tape. It works, dude. It works for him.
It does work. I just fear that in the NFL, guys are a little bit stronger, and then when he does go down to a knee, he's going to get bitched, and then he's going to be like a speed bump. Yeah. So
it's definitely leaving his knees out there. I feel like just, it does make me feel a little worrisome.
Very. He does have like a good athletic frame though. So like, it doesn't look weird when he does it, but I did have a couple plays when he did it where he makes a play on it and you're like, fuck, like that's awesome. And then there are other plays when he's kind of out of position when he doesn't, you're like, like I'm a little bit worried about that. But again, we'll get to that. The hands are always working and they're always violent. He loves his rip and his push-pull move. He's got some really nice reps, slipping double teams with his rip moves. He's one. He gets skinny in between gaps. Him and Newton are excellent at that. And the coordination and acceleration on stunts and twists is extremely impressive. Can do a lot of interesting things with him because of his overall athleticism. For me right now, some of the weaknesses, he's got a little bit of a smaller build. He can get washed out by some offensive linemen and on double teams. I mentioned that going down to the knee on some run plays, I think he can get completely wiped out if he goes too low, and then he'll end up missing a tackle. So I'm curious to see what NFL teams think of that and if they get it out of his game or they kind of let him stick with it. And then I think the hand placement can use some work. He's violent and he attacks, but it can be a little bit erratic. He can miss the strike zone. So once he gets that cleaned up, man, he's going to take off in the NFL. He's a really, really good player.
Yeah, I view him as very similar to Mike Hall, just I think better right now and just a lot more disruptive as a pass rusher. But yeah, he's another one. I feel like he was played over the nose a lot in Texas, which is very weird considering Devontae Sweat's his teammate. But I feel like he's best when you line up in gaps and just let him use that quickness to his advantage. He likes to hesitate a lot off the snap. And I feel like if he had a go-to power bull rush, it would, like similar to Mike Hall, I think it would really open up the rest of that arsenal. Because he's the finesse rusher right now. And I think if you can add that tool and have that power be a real threat, it just opens up everything and makes those finesse moves even more, what's the word I'm looking for? Just they work more. I don't know.
More effective.
Thank you. More effective. His flexibility is insane. We talk about that just going to the knee. It's crazy because, like you mentioned, he doesn't look out of place when he does it. And I feel like his body control and just knowing momentum and leverage, I feel like that's really what that is. And I feel like his take on skills were a lot better than I was anticipating. I was expecting someone, same, like I said, like Michael Hall, who is going to be a real liability in the run game, and that's just not him at all. His ability to take on double teams at that size, under 6'1" and under 300 pounds, is really impressive. I mentioned I want to see him diversify his pass rush moves a little bit and just get a little bit more power to him. And I wish he had attacked hands a little bit more. I feel like when he's doing a lot of swipes, but I feel like he's not attacking hands immediately off the line of scrimmage, which I would like to see him add a little bit more. But he's another one. I think he's perfect for a four down scheme, line up in gaps and just let him fucking get downhill. I think he's another one. His pass rush potential is probably the best in this class. And I'm curious to see how he grows into it and how high he ends up getting taken in this class.
Yeah, he was interesting too, because I think the first game I watched from him was Alabama. And I thought he got protected a lot in that game by Tavondre Sweat. I think Alabama really shaded towards Sweat in that game. A lot of double teams toward his side. And Byron Murphy caught less double teams and was really one-on-one a lot in that game. And I think throughout the course of the season, you saw a team start to scheme a little bit more towards him, which was interesting. So initially, I thought I would maybe you'll have him a little bit lower because he was getting protected by Sweat on the interior. But, I mean, he caught it all from offensive linemen this year, especially towards the end of the season. He had a tremendous season. So I think mid-round one is likely where he ends up.
Yeah, I agree. I think maybe the mid-20s is probably his floor.
Yeah. All right, let's run through our top fives, and then let's talk about some guys who just missed out.
Yeah, so one, I got Jerzon Newton, two, Byron Murphy, three, Chris Jenkins, four, Michael Hall, and five, Dwayne Carter. A lot of juniors in the seconds here, huh? I just realized that.
Yeah, it is. For me, I had Byron Murphy from Texas at one, Jerzon Newton from Illinois at two, Chris Jenkins Jr. from Michigan at three, Braden Fisk from Florida State at four, Devondre Sweat from Texas at five. Anybody that we didn't mention that you want to talk about?
Yeah, I mentioned him on Summer Scouting. I think I actually had him at two in Summer Scouting, but that's McKinley Jackson.
Ooh.
I had him at four, sorry. But I loved him on tape. I just think as an athlete, he's a little limited. He ran a 5'2", 6'40", 23-inch vert, 8'10 broad. He's not a good athlete. He's a little stiff. He's not that explosive, but he is a typical – he's a nose tackle, dude. An old school, you line him up over the center. I think he's going to be a pocket collapser. I think his ability to two-gap and play the run's good. His hands are accurate. And stack and shed's really good. I think he's going to be a really good run defender, pocket collapser. And I think if getting Devondre Sweat in the second or third round is a little too rich, getting this guy a couple rounds later on day three, that's the move to make.
Yeah. I want to talk about Brandon Dorlus. We didn't mention him in our edge rankings. Thought he fit a little bit better here in the interior, but 6'3", 286 from Oregon, 33.25-inch arms. Had a really good season, 26 pressures, 8.7 pass rush win rate. He's got versatility to play inside and outside. So if you're looking for a player a la a John Franklin Myers, those type of guys, he's your man. He had 261 plays in the A and B gaps this year, and then he had 319 outside. So complete versatility, had three straight years of production, 40 plus pressures. He's got heavy hands. He attacks the hands and the wrists to swipe down, get to his rip move. For me right now, the tweener type was tough to get over. I have him at seven right now, and that's mainly because I think the production that he's had over the past 3 years was just too good to overlook. But I think if teams can get over that tweener mentality, if you have a plan for him, he could be a really interesting player, say, like in round three. So he was an interesting one. Can we talk about Leonard Taylor and Mason Smith before we get out of here?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to talk about Mason. Let's talk about him.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you can talk about Mason Smith.
Yeah. I mean, Mason coming off that knee injury, it's tough to evaluate because early on, I feel like he was a little bit more stiff still, but he is just such a rare athlete. 6'5", 306, and he's got 35-inch arms. So he's just completely different than all these other guys we're talking about. All get off the bus team, if I do say so myself. This is someone you want him off first and just leading the way. He's a 5'0", 140 ran, 31-inch vert, 9'9" broad. So he's got explosive athleticism. I love him when he's shooting his gaps. I think that's where he's at his best, but he's also a guy with that length. You can let him two gap a little bit too. He's someone who's gonna be versatile. You can play him up and down the defensive front. And I think he's someone whose best football is still ahead of him. So couple that with the injury and I guess a little bit of unknown. He's kind of like a Marius Mims in that sense, but he's not going to go in the first round, but I am curious to see where he ends up going. I feel like he can't make it out of day two.
Yeah, he and Leonard Taylor are fascinating. I had both of them in my top five. I think you did too. Over summer, just based off of pure outlook that they had as just athletic freaks, and neither of them put it together. I am fascinated to see where they go. I think... was it Brugler or Daniel Jeremiah who maybe had Mason Smith as like a late riser?
DJ had him at 50 last time.
That would be fast. If he goes in the second round, I will be
player
shocked.
Rankings, not mock draft. He was at 50. He was player rankings, I'm pretty sure.
Fair. Yeah, I just don't know what to make of them, either of them right now.
Who do you prefer?
I think Mason Smith, just because I feel like I like his football character better than Leonard Taylor.
Yeah, I agree.
But for Leonard Taylor, just a really interesting player. He's got a really interesting build. He's an athletic looking 300 pounder. He's got a pretty explosive first step. I think it sets him up in his pass rush. He can go inside or outside with speed rip across the face. I think he's got some twitch and power. I was really surprised by his combine numbers because I thought he was a way better athlete than he showed. 5.12 in the 40 with the 176 10-yard split, vertical 30 inches, not bad, and then a 9.1 broad, and then the 3-cone 7.81. So I thought he might run a little bit better than he did. For me right now, he just plays way too upright, especially in the run and in the pass. I mean, he stands up almost on every single pass play. Needs to work on his technique in all phases, in his hand placement, in his footwork. I think he's kind of just a mess right now. He is a true ball of clay for a team with true upside. So if you do like his, let's call it, football character, and you want to take him at the end of day two, maybe, like, I could see a team doing that because he really is just like a true ball of clay right now. You're not going to get anything in year one, I don't think. I don't think you're going to get anything in year two either. But if you can just stick with him, maybe he turns into a really good pro. But I just didn't know what to do with him right now.
Yeah, he's another one. I feel like he was that in that scheme in Miami. He played over the nose like more than half the time. I think he played 340 snaps this past year, and 180 of them were just as a true nose tackle. I feel like when he's asked to shoot gaps, his quickness shows, but a lot of times he looks just stiff. I feel like he was a toughest evaluation, I think, out of the bunch. And you know, I love me some 5-star recruits, number 6 overall recruit kind of out of high school. So I'm always biased towards those guys, but for me, there's something about Leonard Taylor that leaves a little bit to be desired. I feel like he's going to end up being a day 3 pick this year.
Yeah, I agree. That's where I have, honestly, I have both of them right now as day 3 picks. Just because I didn't know what to do with them. Some other guys that we didn't mention, Ruka Roro from Clemson. I had a mid-round 3 grade on him. Really good athlete. He's another one, though. Needs to work on his football technique and overall football IQ. And another guy that I like on day 3, as another undersized type of guy, Mekhi Wingo from LSU, Mason Smith's teammate.
Yeah.
He's a really good player. He shoots gaps. He's quick off the ball. And he's got some toughness and grittiness to him. I like
athletic freak too.
Yeah. Another big one. Time. All right, my man. Good stuff. That's going to wrap it up for us here on Between Two Tackles. Thank you for listening. Hope we enjoyed our interior defensive line ranking. Stay locked in with us. We got the interior offensive line coming up. Actually, surprisingly good class, that I didn't think I would like as much as I did before watching all the film. So I'm excited to share our top fives and some other guys outside that range with you guys. What else we got coming up? We got a linebacker rankings coming up. What do you say?
Tight ends, linebackers, running backs, and safeties.
We got a My Guys episode coming up. We'll try to sneak a mock in there for you post free agency too. So stay locked in with us because we got a lot of good stuff coming up. As always, please rate and subscribe to the pod and follow our Twitter at @2Tackles2. You can also find us on underdogpodcast.com and stick with us as we head towards this 2024 NFL draft. Ray, my friend, appreciate you.